Good evening. This is Lavarne Bullion. This is the election committee of the Pacifica National Board. We're meeting today, October the 23rd, 2005. We would like to have our chair, Carolyn Burden, is not here at this time, so I'm just acting for her until she's able to come onto the call in approximately an hour, hopefully. And what I would like to do is I would like for our secretary, Mary Berg, to call roll, please.
Okay, Mary Berg, I'm here. Richard Phelps?
I'm sorry, Mary, could you speak a little louder?
Okay, how's this?
That's better.
Okay. I'm just going, this isn't in alphabetical order, it's by station, so myself, I'm present. Richard Phelps? Not yet. Okay. Lavarne is present.
Present.
And Melinda's present. And Wendy, present.
Hello, I'm sorry, I'm yelling at my kids. Wendy's here.
Okay. And Ted Weisko?
Here.
Here. Carolyn, not yet. Patty Heffley? Serene Roberts? Rob Robinson?
Here.
Okay. Carol Wolf?
Here.
And Terry Goodman. Okay.
Is Terry here?
He's not here at this moment, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Mary, did you call Melinda? I didn't.
I did, yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
So we have seven people.
Right. So we have quorum.
Okay.
Is there someone else there? Oh, no, they'll be announced. Thank you very much, Mary.
Okay.
And, so just want to check again that everyone received the agenda that Carolyn had sent out earlier?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And we have, okay, if we look at the agenda, we have, we also have, I think Carolyn had sent out, like, special orders of the day in order to get some things accomplished. I don't, but what I would like to do is that the first item after the attendance and the call to order is the approval of the agenda. So may we have discussion on that?
Right. Well, I would move, Mary Berg here, I move that we adopt the agenda.
Is there any discussion?
This is Ted Weisgall. I posted approximately 2 hours ago two items that I would like to add to tonight's agenda.
And I object.
And also, well, this is Lavarne. Thank you, Melinda. Ted, I did receive it and also received Melinda's objection at that time. So can we move that to the next meeting?
This is Terry.
Or, no.
Here's the time.
Wait, Terry Goodman, did you just come on?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Terry.
There is no such rule as consensus to add an item to the agenda. It would be, I guess, a majority vote to add something
to the
agenda.
I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay.
Okay, I was just trying to address this before we go into discussion, Ted. So if you think that you would still like to have it on there, so let's have a discussion on it. Do we want to put a time period on the discussion time? Mary, do you want to keep time on that?
Minutes,
it doesn't have to be strictly enforced, but just, you know,
okay.
About
so
2 minutes or so.
Let's try to, well, the whole agenda was 10 minutes.
Precisely. But, you know, I don't know how many people would like to speak. So why don't we take a stack and we can see and determine how many people need to speak.
I'm on the stack.
Well,
okay,
can I go first as the maker of the two motions?
Okay, please.
Okay,
the first one just, well, let me ask first if there's anybody who has not read these two items.
I haven't.
This is Lavarne. I saw it, and I'm trying to find it again, and I breathed through it. I'll have to look at it again to see.
Okay, well, let me just very quickly, and in fact, I guess people can be listening to this meeting via a stream, so let me, for those who might be listening, the first one is that we address the issue of excluding people elected in the most recent LSB elections from elections to fill vacancies on the PNB. The bylaws do not have a previous service requirement to fill a vacancy. I have a draft of the bylaws, and my draft, it's on page 18 of 49, if the body wants me to read specifically from that tape and what it says.
Hi, Richard Phelps.
Richard. Hi, Richard.
Laverne, can we just can I just specify what I think what Ted's talking about is that when that there is a biological requirement that says that any member to be considered for the PNB needs to be have been on the board for a year, but
that's
that
right.
is seems to be in the part that talks about the first election. So
right.
when it comes to filling a vacancy, it's not quite as clear, and we have interpreted it at KPFT to mean that you still have to have been on the LSC for a year before you can even be considered for a replacement. And so I think Ted's asking for a ruling on that, right?
Right, and it's one paragraph, and I would be happy to read it to the body.
I think that it's summarized. And what was the second?
The second item is individuals who are appointed to public offices local. Serving on LSBs. We have potential cases here in Houston.
Okay, I understand. I understand the point you're making. So you just want to add these for discussion?
And I object.
I want the body to address the issue and to make a recommendation to the PNB for their meeting this coming weekend.
And I object.
Thank you. Melinda?
Okay, I object. First of all, this is a personal vendetta. The thing is that this has been clearly, this is local business. And really, this is not something that needs to go any further. Now, we have actually on the agenda for the 26th of October this very matter. But, as I noted in my note, the individual that he is talking about, there are not several. There is one person in particular he is talking about. Who went to Terry Boricius, also went to Dennis Fetters.
Point of order. We're,
no,
we're,
let
we're
me finish.
We're discussing the merits.
I understand,
just,
but allow just, me, please. Allow me to complete.
Why it should be
Melinda, you voted to throw someone off of our LSB because they addressed the
Wendy,
merits during
Wendy,
the
Wendy, this
approval.
Is not even, it has nothing
second,
to do with this.
Second. Okay, we need, you have about, you
This is
about.
All local. All this is local politics. And the truth of the matter is it's intriguing that we have had two different elections for PNB members. Never once has this same person who ran both of those times ever complained about us not being able to have a freshman member of the LSB included in the election. It's funny how all of a sudden it suddenly becomes cause celebre. I really think that we ought to leave the local politics on the local level, and I really think we've got serious business that needs to be addressed by the LSB. By the elections committee. We don't need to bring personal vendettas onto the board.
Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, Laverne, can you put me on the stack? This is Wendy.
Sure.
Carry
like
on.
On
Laverne,
there.
Richard, I'd like to be on the stack.
So,
okay.
Patty, Mary.
All right, Wendy.
I would just like to point out
Melinda.
That the way Ted said he would like to discuss doesn't seem to have anything to do with the local board of KPFT. It seems to me he's asking for a policy decision on what these rules mean. And really, you know, in Melinda's objection that she wrote to all of us, she said, well, this should all be decided at the local level. Well, if you want to have the KPFT board decide this on the local level, they're just going to vote on the personalities. They're going to vote on who objected and who it is that they're talking about. I think because we have this problem right now of people doing that. And so really this isn't, I see it. I mean, all he's asking, I'm not asking for it, by the way. All he's asking is that can we put this on the agenda as new business? And I don't see any reason to not do that.
We're discussing it on our own local agenda.
Just a second. Wait a minute, Melinda.
Thanks.
Let's
be helpful.
Let's get through this. Okay.
Thank you, Wendy.
Are you through?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. The next is Terry.
Yes, I think just in general, we should try to accommodate members who want things added to the agenda, and we should avoid speaking to the issue itself while we're creating the agenda. On this particular item, it's not purely local. KPFK has a current director that may be running for lieutenant governor. The questions that Ted is wanting to put on the agenda as new business do relate to elections, and I think that they are resolved pretty much in the bylaws, and I will reserve the discussion of that until it comes up on the agenda.
Thank Thank you. Richard?
Yeah, I sort of say the same thing. I mean, when you're dealing with issues of bylaws interpretation, the fact that it may be happening at one station doesn't really matter. We've got to have rules that are applied equally to all five stations. And so we need to make sure that that is understood. And it's interpreting the bylaws is not just a local issue. Because if somebody is allowed to be a director or a board member illegally at another station, that affects us all. And anybody would have standing to raise that issue. So I think it's appropriate to take a look at it at least.
Okay, thank you. Or is there anyone else who would like to discuss this?
Yeah, I just felt when I first read it, I thought that it's not, considering the board meeting is happening in 5 days and that this agenda is so loaded, I have a certain aversion to just packing items on and on and on onto an agenda, because in our own case, we have items that are 2 years old, and the board never gets to them. But once they're on, I can't just take them off as if they never happened. So we have this huge train of these items that never anyone wants to deal with. And I have a reluctance to want to add stuff that I know, I very much doubt we're going to get to it. It'll come at the end, and I just don't think it's going to happen. And it seems that it's going to be rather involved, and I don't know what, if anything, we can do in 5 days. So that's my objection to putting it on. I mean, I realize you want to accommodate people.
Hey, can you talk a little? I'm going to switch phones, so.
There's too many. I mean, if you add 50 items, there's also got to be some kind of a balance. Just not adding without any thought that we'll ever deal with it seems kind of irresponsible.
Sorry, it's me. I'm switching phones. Sorry.
Lavarne, please put me back on the stack at whatever point everyone else has had one time to talk.
Thank you, Mary. Was that all?
I thought there was someone else, but I didn't make a note of it.
Oh, no, that was it.
I guess not.
Ted?
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that was said in the comments just a few moments ago was that this is a personal vendetta. And
okay.
I'm a little tired of people using personal aspersions.
I'd like to take
none of, the rest of us have said that, Ted. We have no knowledge of any
three,
of it. So.
Excuse me. I take that as acting chair, a position of personal privilege. I understand the point that you're making. What I'd like to do is, if there aren't any other comments, I'd like someone to call the question. And we can
wait,
vote.
There's one more thing I wanted to say that is substantive, and that is that we had an election here in Houston this past week to fill a vacancy on the national board. I contend that by excluding candidates from that election, we did not elect from a full pool of candidates. And if we don't address that issue tonight, the bottom line is that we may be seating somebody on the national board next Friday that is not fairly elected.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other comments?
I just have a point of information. It occurs
yes, I'd like to comment.
Okay.
I think it's real curious that this all of a sudden came up, given the fact we've had now two different PNB elections, and this individual never raised this before. Yet we had the same situation prior.
Okay. Thank you, Mary.
I had a point of information. I am not certain that this is even the committee to deal with this. We're interpreting bylaws,
Mary,
but not be
Mary,
governance.
Mary, you're out
Excuse
of order.
Me, I'm asking a question, Richard. Would you just, if you
no,
could
no,
relax,
that's not a point
you please
of
don't shout me down. My question is, it's a
well,
point of information. Does this not belong in government?
What I would like to do is, like, call the question, vote on whether we should ask this as new business, and then we can move to the discussion of this issue if it's added to the agenda. So please, call the roll so we can get a vote on this. And so the question is, shall we add the two items that Ted had proposed, one on appointments to the PNB, been on the board for a year or for more than a year, if that requirement for filling instances. And the second was
the participation or the requirement or the ruling on directors or our government office and also being able to continue on the LSC. I think that's sort of what you're trying to do. So if we can call the roll on this, please.
Okay, we're just going to take his language as he sent it to us, but I don't have that in front of me, but I guess we all do. Okay, so, Mary Berg, I vote no. Richard?
Yes.
Richard? You're voting yes, okay. LaVarne? LaVarne? LaVarne, do you want to pass, and I'll go back to you.
Mary, speak louder, please.
I'm calling LaVarne. I'm doing my best. I'm sorry if I haven't got another phone to switch to.
LaVarne's the chair, so...
I don't think that matters on the committee. What? Well, does LaVarne vote or not? I thought on the on committees she did. The chair does.
Yes, she can.
Okay, so do you want to vote, LaVarne?
Pass for now.
Huh?
Pass.
Okay. Melinda?
No.
Wendy.
Yes.
Ted.
Yes.
No doubt. Patty.
Yes.
Rob Robinson.
No.
Let's see, Carol Wolf.
No.
Okay. Now, LaVarne, Terry.
Yes. Yes.
You're voting yes. And now, LaVarne, we pass to you. Do you want to vote?
LaVarne's fading in and out because of her phone switch.
Oh. LaVarne?
Abstain.
Abstain. All right. So, in any case, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yes. 1, 2, 3, 4 no. And then 1 abstention. So, it passes.
And
now, so we add that.
Ted.
Now, are we voting on Ted's number 2 item?
No, they were both in 1.
Oh, they were both.
I'd like to move approval of the agenda.
Okay.
As amended.
Second.
Okay.
Hey.
Was that Melinda?
That was Wendy. Who's washing the dishes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mute back. It's me.
Really,
hey, at least I'm not in the bathroom.
No kidding. Okay. All right. So how many? So who's in favor of approving the agenda as amended? Is there any objection?
There's, and so therefore the agenda is.
So it's approved, right? Okay.
On the phone, they're, you know, whatever.
This is, you keep cutting in and out, LaVarne.
Oh, you know, maybe let me see if I can go back.
Yeah, your other phone was better.
What's the code to mute? It's a different code on this conference call system,
pound,
right?
Pound one, I think.
Okay, everybody pound pound one and then pound pound one again.
Yeah.
God.
I know.
All right. So that's better, isn't it?
Great. Hey, I need to just get Ted's item Ted would like to add. And as soon as I get that, I'll go back on my other. So the next item that we need to that's on the agenda is the next meeting date. And the proposal that we have here is for Sunday, November the 20th, same time, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Right, well, yeah.
So, would you like to have discussion on that? Or is there any, if there's no discussion, I'd like that as the next meeting date. And I can go online and do that while I'm online also.
I would move approval of that, too. This is Wendy.
Okay, well, there's no objection.
Yeah. Objection. Thank you very much. So that the next meeting, I will go in on the KPFTX, schedule it at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, LaVarne, could you do that afterwards?
Well, yeah, I could. I could, but make sure it's done if I did it now, but maybe someone can help me with that while I get back on my other phone.
But if you're chairing the meeting, I'll go put it on the calendar.
Hey, great. Thank you.
All right. No problem. November 20th at 5 p.m. Pacific, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So thank you very much. So the next item is the approval of the minutes from September the 18th. Mm-hmm. And Mary, you have sent those out. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Has everyone had an opportunity to look at those at least? I hear no comments, so I assume everyone has. Or are there any objections to approving the minutes at this time? There doesn't seem to be an objection, so I would like to enter that we have approved the minutes for September the 8th, 2005.
Okay.
Thank you. So I think if we do a time check, it's 5:30.
Well, yeah, so we have at 6 p.m. Pacific or 9 p.m. Eastern, we had an item. So, let's see, I guess we could take, we have a half an hour to.
Right. So, I think we can go to the other items. Certainly would like to thank everyone for your the smoothness of this so far. And the next item after the special order, yeah, let me just ask Mary or perhaps if I can call John on the other phone, John Sirius, to see how Les was planning to connect and or David Green with us to talk about some of the questions and explanation of SPD. Okay, but the next item on the agenda was unfinished business, the mission statement, resolutions implementation from 2004, financing the elections and audits at each station. And so I would like to ask Rob, and I know you've sent the mission statement around and all of us have kind of looked at it at some point, but did you get feedback from individuals on the committee or also people on the PNB concerning our mission statement for the election committee?
No, LaVarne, I haven't gotten any further input from anyone.
So let me just ask. I love that website. But does anyone have any questions or are you sure that I mean, are we ready to, like, accept this at this point, or do we want to move this to discuss this later at the next meeting?
Well,
Carrie?
Mary Burke on the stack. Oh.
Richard would be on the stack.
Okay.
Richard?
Yeah.
Did I hear Rob?
Yes.
And okay. Carrie.
Mary, Richard, anybody else?
Carrie.
Okay, did I hear Rob initially? No. Okay, so Mary?
Yeah, you know, it's been quite a while since we looked at that. We had recommendations and revisions to it. I very much doubt if anybody really recalls those without looking at the text, and we have new people who probably may not have actually seen that. So I'm not sure how we can proceed with this, with approving it, when we don't...
Point of information, Madam
When we
Chair.
Approved it, Rob wasn't there to say what he thought about the revisions or the suggestions we made, so I don't see how we don't have a document that we all can agree on that we've seen to approve.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Sure, please.
Yeah, I took the corrections that were, a number of suggestions were made at a meeting, I believe in July, and I updated those, and I sent that to everyone on, I think, the 21st of August. I would be happy to resend it. I included the corrections that were made and where suggestions had been made in the discussion that some other areas should be fleshed out. I added that at the end of the document as accurately as I thought. So, I mean, it may be that people haven't looked at it again, but I did incorporate the suggestions that were made to the initial document and send it to everyone back in August.
Thank you.
I wasn't here then. Does everyone have that? I'm not sure I do.
Just a second, Mary. Just a second. Rob, your point of information was that you had sent it out or that you'd made the changes, or I thought point of information was your question, but let me just go through it, and if there are questions, and then Rob can answer the questions at the end, okay? So the next person is Richard.
If I got it, I don't remember it. And, of course, I've been away for a couple weeks and about 3 days after that in jet lag. So I think instead of spending a lot of time talking about this right now because we have other things to do, why don't we just, it's clear that everybody is up to speed on it, so let's be expeditious, put it off till the next meeting. Rob can send it around again. We'll all have to have time to look at it. We will look at it, and next meeting we'll adopt it.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, thank you. The next one is Terry.
After I joined this committee, Rob sent me a couple of documents, and I thought I sent him comments on both, including the mission, because I remember reading it. But if he sends it out again, I'll send comments out again.
Okay,
and I never saw it. So.
And I could copy the whole committee on the comments.
That would be great, Terry.
That would be great. Thank you.
Mary, let me ask you one more time. Please do not talk aloud until, you know, you're recognized. Unless it has something to do with you being secretary, then you talk as much as you want. But, okay, so Rob, can you answer some of these questions or some points that you wanted to make that I guess you initially made when you made your point of information?
Yeah, I'm happy to resend it to everyone and let them read it again. I did get some comments from Terry on one document that was a finance-related document. I don't believe I saw comments on the mission statement. But I'll be happy to resend it to everyone, and they can take a look at it again, and I would be happy to take their comments and incorporate them again.
Okay, great. So what we'd like to do is you'll send it out, and then for our next meeting, I would like everyone to have at least looked at it and made any changes so that we can move forward on this, because it's like this is toward the end and this is something we were trying to do up front. If I may take again a position of personal privilege, is that I did look at it and I went through it very carefully, and in general I thought I wanted to see something a little more concise. You know, it was great in terms of trying to get to all of the issues and the principles within Pacifica, but wanted to see something a little bit shorter and sweeter and to the point. But we'll move that to next meeting. Okay, the other issue on here was resolutions implementation from 2004. So Carolyn Ed many times have sent these out, like these huge stacks of things on the resolutions from 2004, and particularly on some of the issues where it doesn't seem to have been any action or any incorporation of any of these resolutions. So let me just open it for discussion to see what others have any discussion on this item. I'd like to take a phone. So there's no discussion on this? Okay, then we'll just put this item aside, and when Carolyn arrives, or we'll move it down the list. Okay, the next item on unfinished business is financing the elections. Okay, we have your estimates of election costs for each station should include separate estimates of increased printing, mailing, and tabulation costs that may be expected at each station in the event that a consolidated mailing of material on proposed bylaws amendments or other matters increases page count, mailing weight, and the number of items on the ballot by 10, 20, and 30%. RFPs from consultant services should include such additional estimates. Mia,
I'll move for adoption so it can get on the table.
Okay.
Discussed.
Okay, great. Okay, so we'll take a list.
Sounds like Terry wants to be on the stack.
Okay. Let's go. Wendy has volunteered Terry.
Well, the
what? I'm sorry.
The resolution.
Pardon me. I didn't hear what was said. Just Wendy has done what? Volunteered.
No,
what?
Nothing. It's not. You don't have to write that down. It just what he said. It sounded like he wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, but I thought you volunteered something.
No, there's no parliamentary procedure for that. I just was making a comment. I'm sorry.
Okay, please, Terry.
Okay. Well, I think the resolution speaks for itself. The idea is that eventually, like if a bylaws amendment is passed, then we'll be able to consolidate in a single election rankings of delegates and the member polling on any proposed bylaws amendment. There's an additional issue at KPFK because the interim program council here would like for the permanent program council to be elected by the membership in a manner similar to the LSB, and they would be very happy if we could incorporate that election with our delegate elections. And, but that would make KPFK's election costs greater than otherwise because of the additional material that had to be included and because of the longer ballot and all that. So the idea was to have a base estimate more or less based on what we are expecting based on what we had in the last election as to the weight of the material and the length of the ballot and the number of items to tally and stuff, but to also get from any bids how much it would cost if all of those were 10% more, 20% more, and 30% more. Because somewhere in there, on the weight of the material, it's going to cross a boundary that may increase the mailing costs. But that may happen between the 10 and 20% or between the 20 and 30%. So getting that range of bids will have us prepared in advance to adjust our estimate of costs if we end up having elections that are thicker than we had otherwise anticipated. I'm through.
You'd like to be on the staff?
Okay, thank you. Is there someone else who would like to add to the staff? Well, then I would like to...
I would like to be...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Mary. Go ahead, please.
Well, Terry, when you wrote about this, I read it. I'm not clear. It seems, you know, that all makes sense, but who is going to actually pay for that? I think it's fine to bundle them in the same thing to save money, but this would not be paid for out of the national election thing. It seems to me if you have a local program council election that the local station ought to pay for that, so it would reimburse the election committee or however the bookkeeping would be done, but that was my concern.
I can answer.
That in the bundling, that the election, the national elections not be charged with it.
Point of order?
Sure.
This is Wendy. This is not the resolution just saying if there that we want estimates on how much things will cost. We're not debating the issue of whether KPFK can include some other thing with their. We're just asking, can we please know how much that costs? Right.
Well.
Right. I think. Terry, do you want to speak to this, or shall I?
Yes, the resolution includes a per station phrase in there, and members of finance committee, local finance committees, should know that the individual stations are billed for their local elections.
Okay.
So it's not a national cost, except for the national election supervisor, perhaps. But actually, even that, I think, is distributed among the stations. So the
yes,
stations
it is.
Pay for the elections.
Okay. Yeah. But this is Lavarne. So I would like to speak on this also. That, yeah, I think that what we're trying to do here is just to make sure that when we look at the election costs, that in terms of if there is bylaws that if there are bylaws that need to be approved, proposed bylaws amendments, that this needs to be included with the cost of the ballots, and that would be the appropriate time, hopefully, unless there are some changes or there are earlier bylaws, which has been proposed, bylaws of conventions, that this should definitely include those items. And this would be the cost of governance, whether it's in a strict election or including the bylaws. So I think this is a good point. All right, so how do we want to cover, I mean, how do we actually want, do we want to propose this as a motion or...
Well,
Terry?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so...
This is Patty. Can I ask, do you have the time of this, the mail that's including this? Because I'm having trouble finding it. I can't download mail, so I have to find the time.
10/21.
Today?
Hmm? 10/21, Friday.
October 21st, at what time?
7:02 a.m. It says agenda for Sunday p.m. It was sent to the PAC Elections 05 group.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I feel you.
Okay, so
the motion is to, in finance and the election, we have it, it's written out.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we want to vote on this, or do we want to have more discussion? Someone wants to call the question? I think Carrie did. Okay, so Mary, would like to vote.
Right.
To the motion is as outlined on the agenda. It's financing of elections and getting our...
It's item 4C on the agenda.
Item C, 4C.
4C, yeah. Okay.
LaVarn, do you have it in front of you? Could you read it, please?
Yes. It's financing the elections. Financing the elections. Estimates of the election costs for each station should include separate estimates of the increased printing, mailing, and tabulation costs that may be expected at each station in the event that a consolidated mailing of material on proposed bylaws, amendments, or other matters increases page count, mailing weight, and the number of items on the ballot by 10, 20, or 30%. RFPs from consulting services should include such additional estimates.
Okay, are we ready to vote?
I am.
All
okay.
Right.
Would you call the roll, please, Mary?
Okay.
Can you ask if there's any objections?
Oh, that's a good ask. Thank you. Are there any objections to this motion? Thank you.
Okay,
so the motion is passed. Mary, do you have that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. And the next item is audits at each station. I've gotten some information. More detailed information on this. Have you guys received any more on audits at each station? Of course, I can't find it now. But, okay, so we'd like to open this up for discussion. Is there a stack?
LaVarn?
Yes.
This is Ted from Houston.
I just
received a cell phone call from Serene, and she is requesting an excused absence from tonight's meeting.
Oh.
Serene?
Oh.
Okay. We went through the roll call, but we did not go through in terms of excuse that. Well, that's the only person who's asking because we are expecting Carolyn on.
Right.
So, can we just finish up the unfinished business and then we'll get to excuse and Serene's absence? Are there any objections to that? Okay, then, Mary, if you can note that Serene Roberts' absence.
Did she give any reason why she's not going to be here?
No, she didn't.
Okay. So again, are there objections to her to excusing her absence this evening?
Well, I'm going to object, Richard.
Okay. So Mary,
she's not just going to a movie or something, you know? I mean, I believe her whatever she said, but she didn't say anything.
Right.
So
okay. So the vote for this then, let's just take that to the end of the unfinished business. We were discussing the audit at each station, and we'll just add that. Do you mind?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Fine.
Okay, so do we have any discussion on the audits at each station? Let me just kind of talk about some of the information that I had discussed in the past or had received some information about this. And this was just strictly, I believe this was on the call from, prior resolutions that there should be an audit of all, both employee, unpaid employee list at each station, and that should have been done, I guess. I believe this is the item that we're talking to here, and that should have been done before the last election, and that really wasn't accomplished. And I believe a number of the all of the election reports, I guess, spoke to the fact that it had not been done. So in terms of what we need to do with this, I guess what I would need to do is work this into some of the other motions that we have on here and see if we can add this item to one of those motions.
Point of information?
Sure.
Wasn't this perhaps adequately addressed in the resolution 3 that's in the committee report?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that's what we'll look at at that time and make sure that it is. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll just use that. I'll say review with report. Okay, so now if we can get to excusing one of the members' absence. And so, Mary, we'd like to call roll on that.
Okay.
Would you call the roll, please?
Okay.
And so the issue here is that we would like to excuse the absence of the member, Serene Roberts, who's not present today, who had called in to say that she could not make the meeting. So we would like to vote on this because we have an objection, or we have a member who would not object to approving the absence.
Right.
So, Mary, if you could call the roll, please.
Mary Berg, I have no objection. Okay, let's see. Richard? Hello.
Without a reason, I don't see a reason to excuse it.
Okay, so you're saying no.
I'm voting no on excusing
it. Right. Okay, LaVarne?
I'll pass.
Okay. Melinda?
I don't really have an objection.
Okay. Wendy?
Wendy?
Are you washing dishes? Well, I'll come back to her. Okay. Ted?
I'll vote to excuse it, but I'm not going to make this precedent setting. I generally feel that we ought not without an excuse, but she did call.
Okay, yeah. So, okay, Patty?
I'm abstaining.
Okay.
The best I can do.
Okay, Rob?
I'd like to echo Ted's. I approve it, but I don't think we should set precedent this way.
Right. Well, I believe we are not setting precedent. She called, and we're taking on a case.
Mary, please do not.
Right.
That's my call for when you.
Well, that's my
call.
Understanding. Is that
that's,
correct?
Yes. That's
right.
My
sorry. I'll amend it to yes.
Well, that's all you. Yeah. Okay. Carol Wolf.
Abstained.
Okay. Terry.
I appreciate the call in. Absent any policy, I will abstain.
Okay, so now, let's see. Wendy, I didn't hear from.
Wendy? Are we on mute? #1?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, LaVarne, you passed. So, huh?
Yeah, I abstain.
So you,
I wonder if she's left the meeting.
No, LaVarne, you abstain, right?
Yeah, abstain.
Is that correct? Okay. So yes is 1, 2, 3, 4. No is 1. Abstain is 1, 2, 3, 4. So she's excused, right?
Is there someone on the line?
Yeah, this is Les Radke.
Hi, Les.
Oh,
how are you? we're just finishing up. We have actually ahead on our schedule,
yeah.
So we just finished up one item, unfinished business. So I think we are. Let me just ask you a question. Does everyone know Les Radke?
By reputation.
By reputation. and from my
uh-oh.
Point of view, it's a good one. So, but Les, maybe, do you know if David Green will be on the call?
Actually, I don't. I got pretty ill this last week, and I'm sort of out of touch.
Okay. So can you hold for just about two? Well, not hold. Stay on the line, please, because we're just going to kind of wrap up some of the stuff here.
Sure.
Okay, so where I think we are on the schedule is that, as you know, Carolyn is not on the call yet, so we're expecting her at any minute. And if she does not make it, I hate to have to go through the recall. Well, you know, I can just say, you know, we'd like to excuse her absence and because she was en route from Buffalo.
Right.
And anyone who's en route from Buffalo, no, I won't say that. But
well, I can put it in the minutes.
Lamar,
yes.
Are we going to go on to something new or just?
No, we're gonna have less talk.
Okay. Well, before there's a couple of minutes before 6, and I just want to raise a point of order about something in this packet.
Okay.
Under the motions passed, the first one, as I recall, we bifurcated that. The part about the surveys was separated into a separate one from the first one, so that they weren't necessarily approved together.
Yes, that's correct.
I remember I made the motion to bifurcate that, and it was passed, as I recall.
Right.
But, you know, so it was just so that if they went ahead and did first-class mail, they didn't feel like they had to go along with the other part, too.
Oh, no, but I think that your motion did not, but it did. I think we asked for that, but I think that
Well, I have it.
This is as it, when you did not want to do that, but I think it did pass that the survey would be included, Richard.
Oh, well, okay.
I recall.
I have the minutes. I guess I just had them in front of me, so I can check that. But
okay, you can check that. And are there any other questions? Because I think we've gone through unfinished business, and we would move into new business after Les speaks with us and the explanation of STV and any other questions that the committee members might have. Okay, are there any other items that people would like to discuss? Then we have Ted's items at the end of new business, and we have the draft report to the PNB.
Right.
So has everyone had an opportunity to look through that as Richard was going to? Are there any other issues that perhaps we could bring up? Since my clock on my computer is a little, it's probably about 2 minutes. So we have about 4 minutes, right, until Les comes on. So are there any other items that anyone would like to bring up at this point on the report to the PNB?
Terry.
Okay. Okay, so why don't we, I'm going to go downstairs and get some water, but if we would like to, Les, maybe if you can just kind of talk some first about, you know, what you've done in your role in the elections here with KPFA in the national elections. If you can just give maybe a little 2 or 3 minute information on that, about your background and stuff, we would certainly appreciate it. And I'm going to run downstairs and I'll be back. Thank you. Les, are we there?
I'm here. I'm a little bit unclear what would be most helpful for people, though.
Well, I just want people to know who you are and to know how you have, what your involvement with KPFA in national elections in the past.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be long or
I understand. Okay, this will be very quick then.
Yeah.
There were a couple of things. One is that I've always been interested for years in proportional representation, so that's one part of I was part of a group called California for Proportional Representation, and they're the ones who developed in the Bay Area what is called single transferable vote, which also is the same as IRV, instant runoff voting, where you just have one candidate. So that's one part of it. But the other thing is that I've been involved with KPFA in Pacifica since about the early 70s, and one of the things that we felt is that the stakeholders should all be involved in having a say in the station, and the stakeholders are paid and unpaid staff, and, of course, listeners and listener activists. So the idea years ago, that started in actually 93, was to have elections. There was a little tiny election at KPFA, which I think got, Mary, less than 1% of the vote?
Less than 1% of the vote, that's right.
And, you know, slowly we've been trying to build up the idea that staff, all staff and listener activists should be involved. The method that we picked here from the first real election that we held was geared toward proportional representation. That's the main, thing that I held to, because the opposite of that is what we have here, majoritarian rule, so that 51% of a particular political point of view gets 100% of the vote. We knew from the get-go, and a lot of people who voted didn't know, but we knew, those of us who were involved with the committee, that this would mean a lot of dissenting votes that would be on both local boards and national boards, and I consider that a good thing, not a bad thing, because that means that these votes all have responsibility for taking care of the station. So that's been sort of, the two hats, the proportional representation hat, working with that group called California for Proportional Representation, on the other hand, working with Pacifica and KPFA to try to push the idea that this is something that should be used, proportional representation, both for nonprofit organizations, clearly for Pacifica and KPFA, and broader society. Part of that struggle here enabled us to actually get STV used in San Francisco and Berkeley in the regular elections, and we'd like to have it done nationwide. You would not have problems with any third-party candidates running or the Green Party. We'd have more what happened in Germany, where you have a variety of parties that represent large groups of people who have some stake and have some governance. Mary can say if this is what I should be saying or not.
Well, I think so. I think people need to know this, yeah, unless people don't want to know it. But I think it's important.
So if there's any questions...
Lavarne?
Yes.
Oh, I'd like to say a couple of words about Les as an election person. Richard. I was involved on the election committee in the first LSB election, and I was a candidate and was elected in the second one. And then the second one, I was what I might call a election watchdog, because there was a lot of crazy things going on, and I was checking them all out. And I'll just be very blunt and say that the difference between the first election at KPFA, when Les was the local election supervisor, and the second one when he wasn't, was night and day in terms of functionality, fairness, ethics, and, you know, everything just being done right. So I just want to say that, Les, you did a hell of a good job the first time. I wish you would have been there the second time, and we wouldn't have had the multitude of problems we did.
He was in Russia.
That's my
that was the problem.
Well, at the beginning I was, but not for most of it.
No.
And this is also part of how I look at it, and I think we all should look at it, that this is not something that should be run top down. I would say that the center of the elections have to be large volunteer committees, and I understand the problems with that in different areas. But where the elections have been most successful is convincing people to have a fair, neutral committee, which
excuse
does
me.
A lot of
did someone come on?
Hi, that was Wendy. Sorry,
outreach.
I got disconnected.
Which does a lot of political outreach, because it's not a question of pro forma having union-type elections where nobody votes or it's already predetermined, but rather using this to reach out as much as possible to the areas in which we live, so that the elections are actually a political event, not just a pro forma thing of representing the factions that exist at the station, much broader than that. And the broader it gets, the more fair these elections are in terms of having input into the station and having a better board. But that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard one.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to comment before Les begin his discussion on STV?
Yeah, well, this is Ted. I have two quick questions that I'd like to ask him, and if he can cover it in the process, that would be great. One is...
Okay, fine. Okay, I understand what you're saying now. Okay, great. Please, ask the question.
Lavarne?
Yes.
Okay, my question is, not on the big election, but when we have elections of our representatives from the LSBs to the national board, we've had a number of times when we've had to pull names out of hats to eliminate ties or to break ties. And I'm wondering, and I really don't have an answer for this, but I'm wondering if mathematically that is a likely thing to happen, or if we're doing something wrong.
Unfortunately, that's the problem with proportional representation when you have a small group of people voting. And unfortunately, all the different methods have identical problems. The smaller the group of people voting, the more possibility it is that there are going to be two groups that are equal. The one thing that happened here that has to be eliminated, and I think, and I hope it's been eliminated at least at KPFA, and it should be eliminated nationwide, is the idea that you can duplicate vote. In other words, could do 1-1 or something like that. That has to be outlawed for small groups of people. The larger the group, as the group gets larger and larger, you're going to find that that's you know, when you get to the thousand, for example, that just doesn't happen. I mean, mathematically, it would be almost almost minuscule. I mean, it's possible, but I haven't seen it. It just gets smaller and smaller the larger the group. When you're dealing with a small body and you're having a proportional representation election, the problem with it is that, you know, here we've had the same thing. And I think that's going to come, I mean, that has to be dealt with these smaller bodies. I think that there has to be a different way of voting other than pulling straws, although traditionally with the type of proportional representation that's used in this country, that actually is done, people flipping coins and stuff like that, when you have very small bodies voting. The question is, what's the alternative? And the alternative is, if you have 51% on the board and you want a majoritarian election, they will control 100%. This ends up with, every year, greater and greater factional fighting. Whereas, so even with the flipping of coins, at least you're dealing with... I think it's the lesser of two evils, but you're right. It should be looked at, and there should be. It'd be nice if we could find better ways of eliminating that. I know here the one thing is simply not allowing people to do, you know, a duplicate vote, because if you do duplicate votes, in other words, I'm talking about people ranking people the same 1-1, 2-2 in their votes.
You mean splitting the rankings?
Then you definitely are going to have coin tosses or straw pulling.
This is Wendy. Can I say something?
Please.
I think this, like Ted said, this has happened several times in Houston, and it's always, the 24-member LSB voting for PNB directors, and when you end up with a tie, and sometimes it's a tie, well, I guess it's always a tie on who's eliminated, but either way, it ends up feeling like the reason I didn't get on the PNB is because I lost a coin toss. And I was outraged when this happened at the time, and I wrote to, you know, every person I could think of in the network, and the answer in the end was, you know, well, this is because you guys were split. You know, it would have been the same thing if you were all just polling everybody to say, who do you want? It would have come out a tie, and that's the problem. You know, the problem is not with the system. The problem really is that people didn't, that they were split, you know. So, and in the end, it would have come out the same way, whether we used a complicated system or not, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It took me a long time to understand that, but I finally got it. Yeah, the reason was because you're trying to fill some seats, and you all are evenly split.
Yeah, it even happens in smaller elections in this country that are majoritarian. As you probably know, every year we go through the cycle that there's some little podunk place that does a coin toss as to who wins. But I think that should be looked at. I'm just, you know, and it concerns me too. We at the we've had the same thing here for the first national board elections. Twice we pulled straws, and it made a difference in who got on the board.
But if everybody would have voted,
I don't think the thing should be thrown out. I think you're basically right that when a board is evenly split, no matter how you cut it, you can end up with problems. And it would be better if we should think that through and add some system to the point to that. But I don't have an answer right now, other than what I just said about not allowing duplicate voting.
Mary Bird, I have a question.
Okay, please. Go ahead, Mary.
I thought, Les, that I have seen other systems proposed where they have a way of handling that, and I'm since I just saw these things on the fly, I don't. But have you seen such things? I mean, there's other ways of doing proportional representation than the STV or the IRV, right? There's other systems I haven't.
There are other systems. They don't
as a general thing, but do they handle this part better?
Yeah. They don't one way of handling this, I mean, and systems have that in, is rather than a coin toss, you have a majoritarian election on that. Now, if at that point it's still tied, then you have a problem, and that could often happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that would be the alternative. I don't think Wendy stated it correctly when she said that probably if the board is evenly split, you are going to have problems like this. And it's a special question that should be looked at just for that particular thing. What is a better way than pulling straws? Because that's what our bylaw says one should do. What is a better way than that? And the
How
other
about a duel?
That Mary mentioned.
We have those too.
Works for me.
What?
I said, how about a duel, or you know, some
a
kind
duel?
Of fight to the death or something?
Yeah, really.
Know.
That's a great idea, Wendy.
Okay, so let me just. I would like to get into report now. Look, can I just ask the last how many minutes were you prepared to do today?
Whatever is needed.
Okay, well, there are a couple of, okay, now the time now is about my clock is weird, 6:10. So, the meeting is scheduled to go through, I don't know, 7, maybe, 7:30.
Are all stations on board?
All stations?
What do you mean? You would like to know who's on the call?
Yeah.
We have Mary, do you want to do that, please?
Yeah, we've got myself, Richard Phelps, LaVarne,
Wendy
Melinda,
and Ted.
Eileen Don't. We've got Wendy Schroll. We've got Ted Weisskall, Patty Heffley, Rob Robinson, Carol Wolf, a new member to this committee from WTFW, and we have Terry Goodman.
Uh-huh.
And you.
So the time is about 6:10, and I guess we expect to be on here through 7:30. Is that correct? Is that a time that all of us are looking at? Hopefully we'll have Carolyn at some point. And we want, there are a couple of things we need to do toward the end, so why don't we go through about 7, and if there's more things that we want to discuss, then we can discuss perhaps changing the time at that time. So, Les, would you like to proceed?
Les and Mary, LaVarne?
Yes.
I just want to be sure that the two items we added to the agenda tonight do not get short shrift. I was thinking about introducing a motion that at a certain time we address those items. I really don't want to do that. I just want the body to be considerate of what we agreed to add to the agenda.
Right, and we have that on it. I think the other motions, the new business, I'm sure there will be discussion, but it might not be that much. So we'll just do a time check and make sure we get to the items. Would you like to consider changing the time allotment at this time, or just proceed? Give me your opinion.
Just proceed, but
okay, great. Okay, so Les Radke, who is from the Berkeley area, KPFA. Hello.
Thank you, LaVarne.
Would you please start your presentation? We certainly appreciate you providing the time to talk with us today.
Well, my understanding is that there were some questions raised about STV, and it seems that they were raised in a sharpest framework by Rob Robinson. If that's correct, I'd like to just share a couple ideas because he raised some points that I think are important to consider, and one of the things that I realized is here it's not only a question of KPFA having elections using STV, it's a question of a political movement in the state of California to have the state of California adopt STV. And because of that, there are large numbers of people. We've been going out to high schools talking to people about this. We've talked to community colleges. We've gotten community colleges to use STV. Now, of course, San Francisco and Berkeley have. And in the process of doing this, we've done a fair amount of education so that those people in the Bay Area who really wanted to know the transparency of STV and who wanted to talk about some of the alternative methods have had that opportunity. I'm not so sure that's been the case in other areas, even though it's supposed to be mandated that there be programs on each station talking about these things. And I do realize, so there's a couple of things that Rob raised that I want to, highlight. One was that I think it's very, very necessary for us to make sure that STV is transparent. There's all these questions about voting, and you have an algorithm in STV that gets fairly complicated because things like fractional votes, where you know, if you look at the printout of how people got elected, and you find, you know, 173.3 votes or something like that, you know, it gets very, very difficult to run down through that and say, oh yeah, this is fair. And for a layperson to go into that kind of thing and say, I can make sense of that. So I think we have to do, make sure that we have, as part of a handbook, both the actual program, which is easy to print out, and a way that most people who are so inclined can follow that to make sure that, in fact, that vote is transparent, that they, you know, that, you know, we've done numbers of things in the Bay Area. I'm just not so sure how much they've been circulated to the other stations, and I know there's been some work in other stations, but I just don't think it's extensive enough that people would say, yeah, I'm really, really comfortable with that. And I'll just add to that that, you know, because we've had actually not two elections here, we've had, I think it's four elections, haven't
we,
Mary?
Yes, it's
and,
four.
And because we've had four elections, the questions that are coming up in other places came up here a little bit earlier. I can tell you that there are people, and some of them are on national radio for Pacifica, who were very, very confident they understood STV, and then they would come up and say to people that they have 17 votes in this election, things that were just way off because they didn't understand even when the explanations were given exactly how it works. And there were other people who didn't understand that what this method, what proportional representation in general means, is that you're going to have this diversity of opinion. So that's one thing that Rob brought up about transparency. I really think that's important to have, you know, a guide to that so that people are comfortable with it, that they say, okay, if I really want to, I can look at that vote and I can make sure that it followed it. There's ways for me to do that. The second thing had to do with looking at alternative methods, and then a couple of comments, because I agree that other methods should be looked at. We actually have looked at them here, but again, I would say that probably the other stations haven't even gone through the process of saying, what are the other alternatives to this? What are the pluses and minuses? And I really don't have a great feeling about this, because it's, to me, the big division is between proportional representation and majoritarian votes. And all the methods for proportional representation, if they're looked at closely, end up with some problems. So the one that we've used is STV. There are other methods that I feel comfortable with. I don't think I think that the differences between the methods are slight enough that when we've run through, for example, different ways of using them, you end up with about the same. I mean, at the bottom level, there may be one or two people who are changed in terms of the elections, but pretty much the same people get elected because they're all based on proportional representation. It turns out that the larger the vote, the less likely it is that there's going to be any change in these different methods. So as you start ending up with, if we really do outreach and you get, say, several thousand people voting like here, those other methods are not going to change very much, if anything at all. The smaller the group of people, then it starts becoming more significant, and then maybe we should look at those things. I don't know if I summed up Rob Robinson's position correctly, but those were two points that he brought up that I think should be discussed. They're valid ones. And I think particularly given the state of elections in this country, this transparency thing, and making sure that people feel that they have a tool to understand this is very, very important. We haven't done our job on that. So that's all I wanted to say. I don't know what questions folks have or what would be most helpful.
Terry, to be recognized.
Okay. This is Lauren. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Go ahead. I wasn't sure. Okay. Terry, please.
Yeah, there's two things I'd like you to address. One is KPFA's experience with Internet voting in its bylaws endorsed days, and comment on the state of secure and verifiable Internet voting mechanisms. And the second when you have a large number of seats to be filled and just make your quorum among the membership in an election, you end up with a
fairly low threshold that elects each delegate, and I have heard that number used by people who want to discredit the LSB by saying, "Well, they only represent so many people," which of course revealed a fundamental misunderstanding about how choice voting and proportional representation works. But it sounds like a pretty good argument. So I wonder if you have any special way of countering that argument.
Well, I can tell you what we've done. Let me start with the first one, because that's the easy one. The second one that you've raised goes back to the majoritarian versus proportional representation. On the first one, we had good luck with Internet voting. Nobody had any criticisms of it, as far as I know. I mean, it's the one thing that we did that I didn't hear a single criticism. But at the time we did this, this was our first election here. This is not the Pacifica election. This is the first election of KPFA. And you really had, you know, staff and listener activists feeling a little bit close to each other, because we just went through the struggle, you know, of tens of thousands of people pouring out into the streets, camping outside of KPFA. So when the listener activists came up with this, and, you know, we talked about it in the election committee, we thought this was a great idea. I know I voted several times in the election, and only one vote was counted. And I tried getting into the Internet and doing different things just to try it out, and I was rejected. And then we had a couple of other people who voted on the Internet and sent in their ballot, and that was rejected. We made sure of that by actually signing the ballot and seeing if it would go through. Because basically, you know, the number, that encoded number on the ballot was the same that you had to use on the Internet voting. And the possibility of guessing somebody's number was very slim. I mean, you're talking maybe 1 out of 1,000 or less. I mean, we'd probably have one vote in the whole thing, you know, if it's like using a pin at an ATM machine. Just very, very low possibility of hitting on one, because it's not like these were numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's not how the numbers are generated.
Well, they were 8 or 10 digit numbers, right?
8 or 10 digit numbers. That's exactly correct. So you're talking about, you know, people spending a lot of time trying to get two votes in. And I know, you know, I know the system, and I tried breaking, and I couldn't. So that it worked well. Saying that, if you have a lot of mistrust, and we talk about transparency, I just don't think it's a good idea. I mean, because now you're really trusting the people who are running the system. You are trusting that there's not going to, obviously, at the other end, if we're talking at the server end, and if you have some mistrust going on, at the server end, that stuff can be changed. It's not a question of the system not working. It's a question of human beings intervening in the system and cheating. And you know, it's that's not possible to easily find. So I would say, right now, I would say we should stay away from Internet voting for that reason. People may have other ideas. It worked well here. I think as long as there's a lot of mistrust anywhere, and there's mistrust here now, I just don't think it's a good idea, because it allows that to spread. On the number of votes, that's the answer I give is that the total number of votes is what elects the board. And if the whole idea is proportional representation, you can't have proportional representation if you have, for example, an election of 5,000 votes and 2,500 people have to vote for somebody. That throws out proportional representation. The whole point of this is you allow people to represent a sizable constituency. And the more people who vote, the larger that sizable constituency gets. If only a small number of people vote, it means that there has to be everybody, listener activists, the community, the staff, should say to themselves, they really have to expand this. We don't want this. We don't want small numbers of people. We actually love the idea that there are large constituencies out there who get their member represented. So, for example, if you do have a large Iranian community that could never win an election, but could win if they have a member and they're familiar with that member, they could win an election in one of the local stations and have here in this election. That's a good thing. So the idea of not having tremendous numbers of votes to get you elected is a good thing, and we should look for that nationally. We don't want people having to raise the billions of dollars so that they get a majority votes. We want smaller groups of people to be able to elect representatives. So that's my argument. It'll continue to be my argument. I want more decentralization and more ability of smaller groups of people to elect somebody. Now, the fact is, if you have, say, 300 people voting for one delegate, that 300 people can only vote for one, because it means that that one person has to get the 300 votes, and that that community is now represented, but that community has no other representatives. Other communities will be electing the other 24 people. That's my argument. It's the best one that I can come up with.